This is Phil Ferrand. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. And I have to admit that I feel a lot better this week than I did last week. Oh, when I recorded the podcast on Saturday last week, and obviously we're back to better sound because I actually have my recorder with me. Wow, I was a little blitzed. I didn't realize that I was as blitzed as I was until I got a few more days down the week and felt myself climbing out of it. So I would guess that I had gotten a little bit dehydrated as well out in Las Vegas, and I hadn't been drinking enough water. Because it was several days before I kind of felt like everything was settled back in. But that's from getting back on my normal routine, and my normal routine does include, I think it's 2 liters. It'd be 2 liters, because the little bottles that I have that are 16 ounces are actually half a liter, and I usually drink 4 of those in the first couple of hours of work. So there's that, plus then I drink tea. I do drink some coffee, which has the opposite effect, since it's a diuretic. But after about 4 days of drinking all that water, I think I'm doing okay. My wife did have a stress test today. I haven't had a chance to talk to her yet today, so I don't know how that went. She did go see her doctor on Wednesday. And the doctor looked at all the test results and said, yeah, they tested you all for a heart attack, and I don't see anything. She said, but let's just do a stress test just in case. And she looked over the indicators, and I think she thought that heat stroke was a possibility as well. As of last night, Lynette was saying that she still doesn't feel back to normal. She's still wiped out, so if it was heat stroke, it does take a while to recoup from that. So it's going to be, I was talking to the young lady who lives with us, and she was saying her sister had heat stroke, and it took her 2 weeks. So we'll see if it's that long. But Nett is gradually feeling better. She is kind of climbing out of it. Which is good. So, anyways, all is well at work. Things are puttering along. We're getting some more things done. And we got through end of month fine. And there's a big deployment that I'm only tangentially connected to that's going on right now. And there's been a few little things that need to be fixed on that. But it seems to be going. So, that's good. Seems to be going fine, and it's if we get all the way through it and it's all fine, and that's the way it seems to be going at this point, and I'm certainly praying that way, we will have moved off code that is 40 years old. so that's an improvement. It'll be interesting to see once all the statements go out to all the missionaries and everyone starts checking things to, get the feedback and see where we are. But we've done enough testing that I think we're going to be fine. So moving forward. I finally got the issue sort of resolved with Amazon. I think I mentioned last week that Amazon was upset. I don't know if I could. I don't know. I couldn't get my files. Couldn't get my files approved on Kindle Direct Publishing. This is the first paperback book I've tried to do with them. Couldn't get the files approved, but lo and behold, they finally got back with me. Finally got back with me on like Sunday, and after they said, I wrote them Monday. On Monday, they said, we'll be in touch with you on end of day Friday, which is a long time. They must have been getting hammered. I eventually heard from them on Sunday, I think. So it took almost a week to get an answer back, and it came down to how they interpreted the series number. From the very beginning, I decided that there were going to be 3 sets of 8 books in the Windfall series. So I was going to number them 1.1 through 1.8, and then 2.1 through 2.8, and then 3.1 through 3.8. Well, apparently Amazon didn't like that. They just decided, you know what? You can't number them that way. If you put that on there, then people will think it's a series number, and, you know, it's not good. So if you try to put a series number on there, in addition to that, that's going to be confusing to the customers, and so we're not going to let you do that. So, and I wrote back, and I got the same parrot response, and finally I was just like, fine. So I took off the series information and just published it. So it's up now. Doesn't have any series information on it, but that's fine. No one's reading. No one's ordering these books anyway, so it's okay. But I sure do enjoy writing them. You know, it's just somebody somewhere decided how things were going to be, and they forced everybody over from CreateSpace to KDP, and in the process then imposed their own rules. So yeah, I would imagine they're getting a few people complaining to them. As for me, I'm moving on. Anyway, so at least that piece is resolved, though. And I've been working on book 10. It's going okay. Like I said, I was a little under the weather for the last beginning part of this week. And so whenever I start a new book, I have bonus words because we've got all of the summaries and all that kind of stuff in there. And so it's, you know, I always start with like 5,000 or 6,000 words. So this week to get to 10,000 words is pretty easy. And I only put down like 1,500 Sunday night, which I'm supposed to put down 3,000, or Sunday during the day. I'm supposed to put down 3,000, but like I said, I was a little under the weather. But I did get my 1,000 Monday night. I did get my 750 both Tuesday and Wednesday. And so tonight it's just 500. I think that should be fine. I'm in an easy section. And then the longer push comes on Friday. 1,500 words I have to do on Friday, and then 2,500 words on Saturday. But I think we're pretty good. We're in a good enough section that, yeah, I think it's going to be okay. Anyways, so all is well. Last couple of weeks I've just been talking extemporaneously without any notes. I had some notes that I put together, I think, 3 weeks ago, and I think this is episode 497. We are almost at 500. So I had put these notes together for episode 493. That's the label that's on it. So it was a few weeks ago, but it's a fairly interesting topic, and it might be a portent for things that might be to come. Although I would guess that that there would be some resistance to this in America, but who knows? The title of the article was Big Data Meets Big Brother as China Moves to Rate Its Citizens. And I think I mentioned this in passing on one podcast several weeks ago. But China is actually working on what they call a social credit system. Supposedly, it's going to launch in 2020. And its aim is to judge the trustworthiness. Oh, sorry. There was a car that was slowing down in front of me, and I put on the brakes too fast. Am I still going? Yes, we're still going. Yay. Okay, so sorry for the scuffling. Sorry for the noises. The Chinese government wants to judge the trustworthiness or otherwise of its 1.3 billion residents. So in 2014, the State Council of China published an ominous sounding document, I'm reading from the article here, called Planning Outline for the Construction of the Social Credit System. Said it was a lengthy and dry affair, but it contained a radical idea. What if there was a national trust score that rated the kind of citizen that you were? Imagine a world where many of your daily activities were constantly monitored and evaluated. What you buy at the shops and online, where you are at any given time, who your friends are, how you interact with them, how many hours you spend watching content or playing video games, and what bills and taxes you pay or not. The article said, you know, this is a little bit difficult to imagine because... Actually, sorry, the article says it's not really that hard to picture because we have companies who are right now gathering information on us. Obviously, Google gathers information on you, Facebook, Instagram, all those things. But the difference here is that all that gathered information is made available to one entity, i.e. the government, which maybe they have access to that already. And it's all boiled down into a score. Because each of those behaviors is rated positive or negative. And so then you have your citizen score, and it would tell you whether or not, and everyone around you, whether or not you're trustworthy. And depending on your eligibility, or depending on your rating, you might be judged on your eligibility for a mortgage or a job or where your children can go to school or even just the chances of getting a date. So this is not science fiction. China is actually moving to put this in place. They're going to try to rate the trustworthiness of all their citizens. They are pitching the system as a desirable way to measure and enhance trust nationwide and to build a culture of, quote, sincerity, unquote. The policy states it will forge a public opinion environment where keeping trust is glorious. Glorious. It will strengthen sincerity in government affairs, commercial sincerity, social sincerity, and the construction of judicial credibility. Oh, man. I may have mentioned this when I mentioned this before. There is a British television show called Black Mirror. They usually just have a handful of episodes they put out in every season, and I think they're up to season 3 now. It's on Netflix. Each show is a standalone show, and it has a lot of the type of feel that The Twilight Zone had, where it's just these oddball situations. And they portray this and try in one show to at least show some of the ramifications and some of the facets like that. So it's pretty interesting. It's just pretty interesting. But there was, I think, season 4 maybe? Season 3? Maybe it was season 3. Or season 2. Anyways, the first episode of one of those seasons had just this scenario in it, that everyone would have a little badge, and that badge would tell what their rating was, And, you know, on this badge, you would see what the person's rating was, and then you could get denied things, or you could get special perks if your rating was so high, and if it was, you know, and of course there were people doing whatever they could to make sure their ratings were high, and, you know, if someone had a bad rating, they didn't want to be around them, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then it made it more difficult to increase your rating because no one wanted to associate with you. You know, this at this point is not undoable. This can actually be accomplished, and it's going to be fascinating to watch and see if China actually pulls this off. What's interesting is that China does have its own search engines. It does have its own kind of Facebook app. But its Facebook app, I think it, what's, is, no, that's not what. I can't remember what it's called. It's like a combination of everything. So there are just a few, WeChat, I think it's called, WeChat. It's kind of a combination of Facebook, shopping, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's this one big conglomerate of multiple applications where you can just switch back and forth. You know, you can ask for an appointment, look for an appointment for a hairdresser, get an appointment, tell your friends you had an appointment with the hairdresser. After the appointment, you can get on and say, hey, that was fun. They did a good job. You know what I mean? All that kind of stuff. And the Chinese government is working on this, and it's trying to get itself where it's creating this marriage between capitalist oversight, communist oversight, and capitalist can-do. And so the Chinese government has given license to 8 private companies to come up with systems and algorithms for credit scores, social credit scores. And they said, predictably, data giants are currently working 2 of the best-known projects. And so it goes through and talks about that. It says, so just how are people rated? Individuals on Sesame Credit, which is one of the big companies, are measured by a score ranging from 350 to 90 points. Alibaba does not divulge the, quote, complex algorithm it uses to calculate the number, but they do reveal the 5 factors taken into account. The first is credit history. Do you pay your bills on time? The next is fulfillment capacity, which it defines in its guidelines as a user's ability to fulfill his or her contract obligations. Third is personal characteristics, verifying personal information such as someone's mobile phone and address. The fourth category, behavior and preference, is where it gets interesting. So under behavior and preference, they begin to look at things like shopping habits and what you do. In the example that Sesame's technology director gave, he said that someone who plays video games for 10 hours a day, for example, would be considered an idle person. Someone who frequently buys diapers would be considered as probably a parent who, on balance, is more likely to have a sense of responsibility. And, of course, your friends matter, too, because the fifth category is interpersonal relationships. So this is going to be interesting because they already have millions of people have signed up for this publicly endorsed governmental surveillance system. You know, they said there might be darker reasons why people are doing this, unstated reasons, fear of reprisal, for instance, for those who don't put their hand up. They said, but there is also a lure, and that's in the form of rewards and special privileges for those citizens who prove themselves to be trustworthy on Sesame Credit. So if their score reaches 600, they can take out a just spend load loan of up to 500 yuan, which is, they said, 565 pounds, which would be $1,000-ish, and use it to shop online as long as it's on an Alibaba site. Reach $650, and you can rent a car without leaving a deposit. You're also entitled to faster check-ins at hotels and the use of VIP check-in at the Beijing Capital International Airport. Those with more than 666 points, which... That's an interesting number. Those with more than 666 points can get a cash loan of up to 50,000 yuan, which is 5,700 pounds, $10,000-ish. Get above 700 and they can apply for Singapore travel without supporting documentation such as an employee letter. At 750, they get fast-tracked applications to a coveted pan-European Shenzhen visa. Quote, I think the best way to understand the system, says Creamers, is as a sort of bastard love child of a loyalty scheme. But they said in this article that the higher scores have already become a status symbol, with almost 100,000 people bragging about their scores on Weibo, the Chinese equivalent of Twitter. And they said the citizen score can even affect their odds of getting a date or a marriage partner, because the higher their Sesame rating, the more prominent their dating profile is on this local dating site. So, you know... obviously, if people are worried about their scores, just like in the Black Mirror episode, they're going to be more careful about what they say. They're going to be more careful about what they do. One of the things that I find interesting about this, and there, it goes on for pages and pages and pages, and, you know, if you want to read the article, again, it's called Big Data Meets Big Brother as China Moves to Rate Its Citizens. A couple of things that are interesting about this to me. The first one is that there is a vacuum in terms of mass controlling techniques for behavior. There is a vacuum right now. In the many years that have preceded human existence, that technique for controlling mass behavior was religion. Just is. In fact, one of the things that Jordan Peterson lays at Sam Harris's feet in terms of a challenge is, so you're suggesting that we can just use reason to come to all of this great moral society, but where is the framework that you're going to develop that inspires people to live moral lives? Because religion has done that. Demonstratively, it has done that in many cases. I mean, there are cases where, the demons have not been kept under control in religious environments. Certainly, that's true. But in large part, religion has functioned as a way to keep the masses kind of in check in terms of how people make decisions, because God is watching. I got really tickled. I don't know if I've told this story. I told my friend when he told it to me that I was going to tell it on a podcast at some point. I don't know if I've told this story yet, but I'm going to tell it again. My buddy is the chief of security there at the headquarters where I consult, and they have a cell phone that they use. Well, one of his security guards had apparently gone and gotten a snack or something and left the cell phone behind accidentally. And when he noticed that he left it behind, I don't know if he got in touch with my buddy or whatever, but he called the cell phone and a guy answered. And he told the guy, hey, you know, that's, you've got the cell phone. We need that back. And the guy said, well, I'm I'd be happy to meet you and sell it back to you, you know, for $50 or something like that. And apparently the guy who took the cell phone knew where it had come from, that it had come from the Assemblies of God, because the security guard told him, you know, that's God's phone. And he said the guy on the other end got quiet and he said, yeah, okay, I'll bring it over and meet you over there. But that idea, that controlling of behavior just from this overarching idea, you know, we've got a gap in our societies these days because there's a lot of people that deny the existence of God. Once you take religion out of a society, you've got to have something to kind of keep people in line, to keep them behaving in a way that's productive for all of society. So who knows? Maybe something like this would be helpful. Where something like this seems unhelpful is in the ways that social media can develop a mob complex. Because we've seen plenty of instances where someone becomes a scapegoat, someone becomes the current target, and people just unload on them. And if all of those things are getting judged against that person's social credit score, that person may end up just being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And, you know, people will just descend on them and just destroy their credit score. So, I mean, that seems unhelpful to me. And of course, it's going to come down to how the algorithms are written. So, you know, if the people who are writing the algorithms decide that all religion is bad and ridiculous and irrational, and they see, oh, well, you're making donations to a religious organization, therefore you're irrational and you're not trustworthy. I mean, there's all kinds of really interesting ramifications. Not to mention that there certainly are prophecies, Mark of the Beast, having to do with 666, which was interesting if you got to that credit level score. I'm sure that number was not picked accidentally. But it's certainly there is a prophecy about the Mark of the Beast and everyone taking this mark and being in some kind of a system where you can't buy or sell unless, you know, you have this mark. And at the time it was written, I don't know how feasible that sounded actually to John. But, you know, in this day and age, it actually could be done. It'll just be fascinating to watch and see how, A, this develops in China. And then in addition to that, B, what resistance this type of system would get if it was ever attempted to be implemented in the United States. Because I have a sneaking suspicion that somebody somewhere is going to try to implement something like that here as well. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.